Recopied. August 23, 1928. K-123-02. Elmshaven, Sanitarium, California. August 5, 1902. Dr. Kellogg. Dear brother, I received your excellent letter a short time ago. You were not at home when you wrote, but were traveling from place to place, and therefore I did not answer immediately. After I received your letter, my heart was much oppressed. For several nights I could not sleep past 1 o'clock, but walked the room, praying. The fourth night I said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I am willing to do anything that it is duty for me to do. I was instructed. I have a message for you to bear to Dr. Kellogg. I thought, it will do no good. He does not accept the messages that I bear him, unless these harmonize with his plans and devisings. Yet I must give the message given to me for you. My brother, you have not heeded the light given you. If you go forward in your own judgment to carry out your purposes, you will lead other minds astray. Many of the plans that have been laid for our work are not according to the plans and purposes of God. Had thorough work been done during the last General Conference at Battle Creek, had there been, as God designed there should be, a breaking up of the fallow ground of the heart, by the men who had been bearing responsibilities, had they, in humility of soul, led out in the work of confession and consecration, had they given evidence that they received the counsels and warnings sent by the Lord to correct their mistakes, there would have been one of the greatest revivals that there has been since the day of Pentecost. What a wonderful work could have been done for the vast company gathered in Battle Creek at the General Conference of 1901 if the leaders of our work had taken themselves in hand. But the work that all heaven was waiting to do as soon as men prepared the way was not done, for the leaders closed and bolted the door against the Spirit's entrance. There was a stopping short of entire surrender to God, and hearts that might have been purified from all error were strengthened in wrongdoing. The doors were barred against the heavenly current that would have swept away all evil. Men left their sins unconfessed. They built themselves up in wrongdoing, and said to the Spirit of God, Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. The present is our sowing time for eternity. We must reap the fruit of the evil seed we sow unless we repent the sowing and ask forgiveness for the mistakes we have made. Those who, given opportunity to repent and reform, pass over the ground without humbling their hearts before God, without doing faithful work in putting away that which he reproves, will become hardened against the counsel of the Lord Jesus. All blessings come to us by virtue of our union with Christ. He, the Lord of hosts, hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has chosen all who will receive and believe and practice the truth, chosen them to be united to him by adoption, to be members of the royal family. He has made an atonement for sin, and all who by faith receives him as their Savior become sons of God. Christ knows the weakness and the failings of the human heart. Of ourselves, we can never make ourselves fit to be co-workers with him. It is God's purpose that each soul shall realize his inefficiency and hunger and thirst after righteousness. Through the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, we can be made vessels meet for the Master's use. Jesus saves only those who repent of their sins. By the efficacy of his blood, they are cleansed from all defilements. In all wisdom and prudence, he works in the one who in faith surrenders to him. Let him take hold of my strength, he says, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. All those who die to self he will make vessels unto honor. He will bestow on them wisdom and understanding in spiritual things, giving them a rich measure of his grace. It is Christ's purpose to enlighten our understanding, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to all who deny self and, taking up the cross, follow in the footsteps of Jesus? Words cannot express the blessedness of following his guidance. He pledges himself to work with those who strive to represent him in thought, word, and deed. He gives them assurances to encourage them when they are cast down. He speaks words that will uplift them, but he never designs to exalt them in their own estimation. He gives them the earnest of his spirit, recognizing their meekness in wearing his yoke. "Learn of me," he says, "and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Holiness of heart and works and spirit is obtained through a belief of the truth.
The power of the grace of God is manifested when he leads men away from their own thoughts and their own desires and makes them willing to die to self. He leads them to believe on Christ and to trust in him. He will raise them from spiritual death to spiritual life and to immortality, and will seal them as his forever because of their continual obedience to his commands. The heavenly messenger turned to you and said, "Unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will walk in self-sufficiency and self-confidence and will estrange yourself from God. The Lord has given you encouragement, but you are not in simplicity cooperating with him. You do not hunger for the greatness of his power. Did God lead you to bind yourself up with worldly men who do not obey his commands? What has drawn this veil over your spiritual eyesight that you do not honor and glorify God, but walk in a way that glorifies self? The kingdoms of this world are soon to become the kingdoms of our Lord." The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." There is to be a rapid and triumphant spread of the gospel. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. The ark of God's testament, covered by the mercy seat, was seen in his temple. What does this ark contain? The law of God. Moses was directed to make an ark, in which was to be placed the law of God, written with his own finger upon the tables of stone. This law God gave for the guidance of his people, and it was stamped with the assurance, staked upon his almighty power, that he had entered into covenant relation with them. Today God makes a covenant with all who will take their stand as loyal subjects of his kingdom, reverencing the law that occupies so prominent a position beneath the mercy seat. The ark is a representation of the keeping power of God. In it, the law is kept. And today there comes to us John's testimony. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. The ark was to the Jewish people all that the Bible is to be to us. In the Bible are gathered the testimonies of divine truth we are ever to keep before our minds. We are to study the word of God in the way pointed out in the sixth chapter of John. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood," Christ said, "dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." Wonderful words. Eating the flesh and drinking the blood of the Son of God brings eternal life. The Word of God is to become a part of our very being. You are to become as a little child, as must everyone who is admitted into the city of God. We are to be his little children, not kings and rulers, striving for the supremacy and to make a great display, but little children, realizing our lack of knowledge and experience. It is only when we serve God in the strictest integrity and in humility of mind, trusting in Jesus, that we are safe. Everything is to be shaken that can be shaken. The heavenly messenger said to you, Your only hope is in clothing yourself with the garments of Christ's righteousness. Never, never link yourself up with the world. Those who disregard God's holy precepts will, in the last great day, stand with the apostate. The word of the living God is to be our guide. God is not with you in all the steps you have taken. In your counsels, take no steps to unite with worldly men, lest you lead into false paths those who should be true to the principles that must characterize us as a people. It is our work to point men to the living truths of the law of God, which His people are to keep pure and holy. The leaders in our medical work should now be considering the testimonies that for years have been coming to them. If they pay no heed to these warnings, the Lord cannot cooperate with them as He desires to. There is danger of your placing yourself and others in harmony with worldly plans. Faithfulness in duty, trust in God at every step, this is your safety. If you follow your own ambitious projects, you will go where Jesus has given you no liberty to go. Obey the word of God, and you will be safe. Ellen G. White.